Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to another edition of Dave's Living Room. Tonight, we're joined by Chris George and David Wilhelm. Gentlemen, we held the draft lottery this week, and the results have come in. Chris, I'm sure you got some thoughts on it.
Well, look, I just think it's fixed. Cleveland, 3 out of the last 4 years, number one pick. Are they still getting paid for losing LeBron? That's kind of how I feel about it.
So would you rather Philly and Milwaukee be rewarded for tanking all year then?
You know, would Jalen Rose say all college basketball season, concede for Embiid? I would concede for Embiid.
Yeah, I'm with Chris. I think that it's fixed. But surely this is enough. I said after last year that if Cleveland won one more time, that it's just ridiculous. I can't imagine. They've won 3 of the last 4 lotteries. They've won 4 of the last 11. There are teams that have never won the lottery ever. And it's just – it's embarrassing. Either God loves Cleveland, which I don't think is true.
I definitely don't think that's true.
Or the lottery is rigged.
I just don't understand. What was their percent chances? You're like 1.9?
1%, something like that.
In the past, to get it 3 of the past 4 years, their percentage is 0.0007 to get 3 of the last 4 years.
And here's the thing. They're going to screw it up.
Yes. That's my favorite part of the whole thing, is knowing that they're going to jack it up. Like, Joel Embiid must be cursed, because clearly this is a hex on him and his poor back, and this is the kiss of death for him as far as I see it. He's got no shot in Cleveland. I'm not sure Cleveland holds on to the pick. We can talk about that in a little bit, but it's just crazy. Do we like the lottery? Let's talk about that for a second. Is the lottery really that much better than – is it where the worst team just gets the first
pick?
But at
the same time, I don't want to see – I mean, then you really do have Milwaukee, Philly tanking, rigging for Wiggins, as Jalen Rose also said. I mean, you got
– David, are you there? Sorry about that, folks. We had technical difficulties just for a second. Chris, you were saying?
I was saying that, you know, I want to go back to the days of where all the balls were bouncing around like the bingo balls bounce around at the bingo parlor, and one of them, they open it, and one of them flies up. Let me let that one fly up, and let me see Cleveland's logo on the little ping pong ball. Yeah, the ball could still be weighted, but at least it looks a little more legit than them just telling us what they tell us. Yeah, it takes away all the drama of the unveiling. But I don't think this is legit. It's fixed. It's got to be fixed.
Is the lottery better than the way the NFL does it, where the worst team just gets the first pick?
It's more dramatic.
See, at no point do you ever say in the middle of the year, well, they're tanking to get the number one pick in the NFL. So, and it could be because there's only 16 games. It's November before you're out of it. And for some teams, it's November when they're out of the NBA playoffs.
But for the NFL is set up systematically for you to be good every 4 or 5 years, unless you're the Cleveland Browns.
Two digs on two different teams out of Cleveland the same night.
I'll get the Indians before we're
good
done.
Good job, sir. Good job, sir.
But it's true. The system in the NFL is set up for you to be good every 4 or 5 years. There are only 2 or 3 outliers in that, which are the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they're actually proving that that doesn't work right now, because they've been mediocre. The Ravens and the Patriots, who defy the system and have remained good for 6 or 7 years in a row. And then you have on the other end the garbage, which is the Cleveland Browns, which proves that even though they give you the weakest schedule, you still can't figure out how to win.
Don't forget the Oakland Raiders.
Well, that's just something altogether different, because Al Davis was crazy.
David, what do you think? Which one do you prefer?
I don't know. It doesn't eliminate tanking. NBA teams tank, NFL teams tank. So if the point of it is to eliminate tanking, then it's failed. It's definitely more dramatic and exciting than the way the NFL does it. So I guess they've got that going.
Yeah.
I think I prefer I do. I think I prefer the lottery.
Okay.
Well, what do you think? If you're Cleveland, David, what do you do?
You try to trade the pick. Yeah.
All right. Once again, we suffered technical difficulties. David, go ahead with what you're saying.
I think Dave's trying to break the internet tonight. I'm not really sure what's going on. What I was saying was, it's the funny thing to me is that all these teams played badly and tanked all year long to try to get in the top 10. And now it seems almost all of them are trying to trade out of the top 10. This Kevin Love thing has happened and everybody wants to trade for Kevin Love, which I know we're going to talk about Kevin Love more in depth here in just a second. So I don't want to jump ahead. But Chris wanted to know who had the capital to trade for the number one pick. Definitely Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because Cleveland wants Kevin Love, who is bound to be more valuable than whoever they draft with the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia, like Chris was saying, has 7 draft picks. I guess they could make a move to get that number one pick. I don't know that many people want the number one pick.
I think a lot of teams came into this season wanting in the lottery, wanting in the top 5, some of your poor teams, younger teams like Orlando, Milwaukee, Philly, came in wanting in that because they had believed the hype about this draft class, that it was supposed to have 5 or 6 franchise players. And, you know, I'm sitting here looking at a mock, and, you know, I really can't say that I think any of these guys are franchise players. I believe Wiggins is going to be a solid player, but I'm not sold that Wiggins is a future star. I'm not sold that Wiggins is going to be talked about like LeBron and KD and some of these people. I'm just not convinced of it. I think his game's got some serious holes in it. As you read about the draft, you hear them talk about Jabari Parker. You know, does he really have a position? Is he too big to play 3, but not strong enough and good enough defensively to play 4? Embiid has the back issue. I mean, to me right now, the only one escaping any criticism is Dante Exum, and that's because he's the one that people know the least about.
Yeah, Dante Exum's getting the least criticism, but he's also the least likely to be drafted number one overall, too.
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, if I'm picking, I'm not so sure I'm picking Noah Vonleh.
Take who?
Noah Vonleh.
Okay.
He's probably the combination of Julius Randle and Jabari Parker.
Chris, this is going to be one of those spots where if Cleveland takes, and I get his name wrong, Embiid, his back will give out. And if they don't draft him, he'll be a Hall of Famer.
He'll be the next Elijah Moore.
Okay.
All projected.
Okay. Okay.
If I'm Cleveland, I end up having to hold on to the one. I almost think I've got to take Wiggins. At least I know Wiggins, you can plug Wiggins in beside Kyrie, and hopefully Anthony Bennett would, in their case, they're hoping Anthony Bennett will quit trying to eat himself out of the league and turn out to be something, and that'll give him a nice little core.
So you don't.
And I think they've also got to look to trade their wasted top 10 pick of Tristan Thompson and package him somewhere with Deion Waiters and maybe try to get something else, maybe somebody like Philly, maybe get a hold of one of their picks.
Well, best case scenario for Cleveland is they flip this number one pick to Minnesota for Kevin Love and then convince LeBron James to come back to Cleveland.
There it is.
That's best case scenario. There's a lot of ifs in that statement, though, because convincing Kevin Love to re-sign with Cleveland before LeBron James gets there is going to be very, very difficult because he wants to go to a contender. He's stuck in Minnesota, and Cleveland's in worse shape than Minnesota.
Yes. Well, Minnesota's no draft gurus. Remember, they draft back-to-back Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn a couple of years ago. You have a top ten picks, and you take two point guards.
It's true.
There are no draft gurus. I mean, there's several teams in the NBA that need to realize the draft is meant to make you better.
Well, that's what Cleveland's looking at. That's what Cleveland's going to try to make happen. I don't think LeBron's leaving Miami. I think he's going to opt out of his contract, but I don't think he's going to leave Miami, and I don't think he's going back to Cleveland. So I really don't think their best case scenario is going to work out for them, and they're going to end up, I think, keeping the pick probably.
I just think they're going to get. I don't think he's going. I think they're going to get. I'm going to use the terminology. They're going to get stuck with the pick.
Yes.
As much as they wanted.
I believe Philly, Milwaukee, Orlando coveted the pick. But I think they're all in the same similar situation of, hey, we'll take whatever falls to us because we're still going to get a solid player, just not have the risk of this number one pick and having to pick between them because you're not nearly as criticized if you take what falls to you.
Well, you can't worry about criticism. That's the thing. And if you're Cleveland, if you can pair Joel Embiid with Kyrie Irving, I mean, that's as good a 1-2 young punch as there is in the league. I think, or that's probably the most potential. You don't become a contender in the East overnight, but you're a lot better. So maybe they take the pick and they draft Joel Embiid and still try to convince LeBron. They're going to make a sales pitch together. And depending on who you talk to, he might listen, he might not listen.
See, I guess you say don't worry about criticism. Portland's still getting criticized over Greg Oden over KD, and everybody knows that Portland still gets criticized for Bowie over Jordan.
Bowie over Jordan. All right, once again, technical difficulties. Back to you, Chris.
I was just saying Portland's still getting criticized for Bowie. And, I mean, that's sort of something you got to think about. But I think the last thing we talked about was David was talking about pairing Embiid with Kyrie. It was about the best they could hope for and get LeBron back.
Well, okay. On that, I was wanting to ask you, both of you, the 76ers have the 3 and the 10 pick. And yeah. A lot of the mocks are saying Jabari Parker and Young. Do you feel that's a good combo to bring together? Or would you try to find another big man to – or is Jabari Parker the best big man left at that point?
Well, Philadelphia's gotten Nerlens Noel, don't forget.
I did forget about that. Okay.
Oh, that's a scary – if that all turns out with Michael Carter Williams, oh, my God.
Wow, that is – okay, yeah, I did forget about that. He set up the whole year. Okay.
Yeah, that – if Philly is smart, those will be their – they will get a two-guard to go alongside Michael Carter Williams. And they swing forward.
Right.
Which is what Jabari Parker is.
That would be
is.
Perfect then. Okay. Okay.
Now, that's scary. That is beginning to get scary there. And they've got a couple other pieces.
And then they're young. I mean, young as can be at that point.
The only bad thing about, and this was what somebody pointed out on ESPN yesterday, about teams like Philly potentially – like Cleveland, if they all pan out, you're going to end up in the same situation OKC found themselves in when they had, and people forget, their young core of four was Running Beard, Westbrook, KD, and Jeff Green, and then Cephalosha and Ibaka turn out to be good too. So they've got six. So they had to pretty much give Jeff Green away for Kendrick Perkins and give Running Beard away.
Yeah, but that's a good problem to have.
It is a good problem to have, but now you got to start picking which ones you keep.
Right.
They got lucky and kept the right, potentially kept the right too, and Ibaka.
The crazy thing about Cleveland, though, is they've had better draft picks available to them than Oklahoma City has.
Yes.
And you look at where Cleveland's at and where Oklahoma City's at. A couple weeks ago, Chris was talking about how important it is that you don't miss on these draft picks. And he's absolutely right, because that's the difference in Oklahoma City and Cleveland.
and they don't miss. If there's two teams in the NBA that, well, I'll give you three for the most part because, well, they miss, so I'm going to take that out. I'll go with two. The Spurs don't miss. Ever who the Spurs draft, mark it down as money. And OKC is the other one. If they draft, you mark it down as money. They don't miss. They're like Belichick. They don't miss.
Okay.
I mean, do you agree or disagree?
I agree that they hit most of the time, yeah.
I mean, when I see them draft somebody, especially OKC, I'm just like, what? And the Spurs, what? Like taking Kawhi Leonard, that was off the, that was kind of off the radar a little bit. Kawhi was ranked lower, and they take Kawhi, and you're like, why? What do they know? And look, Kawhi turns out to be a redraft of that draft would have Kawhi probably in the top five.
Well, the thing about the Spurs is they've got a system in place.
Mm-hmm.
And they draft people that fit their system. Regardless of where everybody else has got them ranked on their little mock draft, they're looking for guys that specifically fit their system. And so the reason why all of their draft picks seemingly hit is because they're looking for a very specific thing, and when they get that thing, then they go with it.
Kind of reminds me, I mean, I was looking at a couple of mocks, and Mitch McGarry, and I'm like, that is such a Spurs pick.
Yeah.
A guy that's ranked a little bit lower than he probably should, they're going to take him, they're going to plug him in there beside Duncan, and they're going to go.
Talking about how you were talking earlier about how the lottery is rigged. How many of these teams, if they would have won the lottery, would you have said that it's rigged?
Cleveland, Boston, and LA.
Right. So if any one of the three of them had won the lottery, we both would have thought that the whole thing was rigged.
Yep.
Maybe even Philadelphia.
A top three pick.
What?
I was certain the Lakers was getting the top three pick.
I was too.
Because the NBA wants Boston and LA to be good.
Do you think all this talk, though, about it being rigged is lending itself to them trying to be more discreet about it?
It could be. It very well could be. But Cleveland winning 3 out of 4 years, something's wrong.
Something's not right with that. You're absolutely right.
I just think they're getting paid for LeBron. They're still saying, we're sorry LeBron left you. We didn't intend for him to. We're going to give you another number one pick, and maybe you'll get it right this time.
Are they giving them the number one? The question is to me is why? Are they giving them these number one picks because they desperately want LeBron to go back to Cleveland?
It could be.
Like, what's the end game? That's what I'm looking for.
End game is Dan Gilbert quiet.
Yeah, because the NBA is not a very forgiving league. You know what I mean?
Oh, they will punish you.
They'll punish you. They'll reward you if they over-punish you like they did New Orleans when they lost Chris Paul and they gave them Anthony Davis. So they'll reward you if they over-punish you. But I just – with this Cleveland thing, I've been trying to figure it out. Like, what's the end game? Like, what's the point of it all? And the only thing I can think of is that they desperately want LeBron to come back.
Well, see, they still owe the Lakers, don't forget, because they didn't let them have Chris Paul.
Right. But it just would have been too obvious. Don't the Lakers deserve, like, a period where they're bad for a while?
But they can't have them and Boston bad together.
Yeah.
Not good for ratings.
I don't know.
See, if you really think about it, their big three are Boston, L.A., and New York, although they're trying to replace the Knicks with Brooklyn right now. And you can't have all three of them being bad, and you know that the Knicks give away all of their draft picks because they're stupid.
Yeah.
So they've rewarded the Knicks by letting them have Phil Jackson.
Lot going on. So let's talk about Kevin Love.
I think he's putting the screws to him, that he's going to pick where he goes, and they're going to, and Minnesota's going to end up getting held up for it. I mean, it's going to be like a robbery.
Right. What happened was Kevin Love, the all-star forward for the Minnesota Timberwolves, had the best year of his career this year. He's always been solid numbers-wise, but he had an exceptional year numbers-wise. And he can opt out of his contract at the end of next season. So he's told them that he wants out of Minnesota, and so Minnesota doesn't want to lose him for nothing. So they are – now they're looking to trade him, and they're not going to get anything close to his value in trade back. He's got a couple of teams that he said that he wants – he would prefer to go to. So we can talk about that, the validity of do you respect his wishes or do you just trade him for your best offer? Let's
All right, folks, our fifth internet problem tonight. Go ahead.
This is fun. This is a lot of fun. I'm my own. I love this. All right, so what we're talking about with Kevin Love is do you respect his wishes and trade him to a team that he wants to go to? That's my first question.
Or is that open-ended, or are you going to respond?
It's I want to know what you think first.
I mean, within reason, I guess you could try to trade him somewhere he wanted to go. But I think you're going to end up in another Dwight Howard situation with the Sixers and the Lakers. You're going to get so many people involved, and somebody's going to get hosed out of all of them. I mean, you look at the 76ers, they take on Bynum, who gets hurt and then decides that he's Frederick Douglass and just goes nuts. And the Sixers largely got hosed in that whole thing, and I kind of feel like that's where it's headed with this Kevin Love thing. Who's going to agree to get hosed to let Minnesota try to get what they think he's worth?
Well, the teams that he said that he wanted to go to, did you see the list?
I know they're all warm weather places.
Well, that's not necessarily true. He wants to go to contender. There's Golden State and Chicago. Yeah, right. Golden State, L.A., Chicago, Boston.
I didn't know about Boston and Chicago.
Yeah.
Why Boston?
I have no idea.
Yeah, they're definitely not a contender.
Boston's not a contender. I guess you think if you compare him with Rondo, but even then, what do they trade to Minnesota? What do they have to give Minnesota? Because Boston's not in the Boston wanted in on the Kevin Love thing. But they're picking sixth in the draft or something like that, so it's not high enough to matter.
It would cost them the 6, the 17, and probably Jeff Green.
Probably at least
and maybe JJ Sullivan. They want a boatload.
Maybe, I don't think they're going to get a boatload. No. Is the thing.
I don't either, but they're going to want a boatload.
They're initially going to want a boatload, yes.
What do you give them if you're Golden State without sacrificing your core?
Golden State is interesting to me because Golden State wants him, but they don't want to trade Klay Thompson. That's what Minnesota wants.
Break up probably the second best young backcourt in the NBA.
They don't just want Klay Thompson, though. That's not enough. So, and Golden State doesn't have a draft pick.
They don't. I'm looking. They don't have a draft. Golden State
does not have a draft pick this year, and they can't offer next year's draft pick until, like, the end of June, 1st of July or something, which might sink them, honestly. The best they could offer is David Lee, Harrison Barnes, and next year's draft pick. And I'm not sure that that gets it done. And I'm not sure that's going to be the best offer that they get.
The Lakers don't have anything to offer them besides the number 7.
Besides the number 7, unless they want to take back Gasol, which Is Gasol a free agent?
Yes. I'm not sure.
They could do a sign and trade with Gasol, I guess. But is Gasol going to go to Minnesota willingly when he's a free agent? Probably not.
Probably not.
So what do they have to
offer? A max deal.
They don't have anything to offer. My point is, I think this is lining up for Chicago to take Kevin Love if they want him.
But what do they give up to get him?
Chicago could – they've got Nikolai Mirotic, who is the best player not playing in the United States right now. They've got two first-round draft picks this year. And then you could give up either Taj Gibson or Jimmy Butler. Or potentially you could trade Carlos Boozer's expiring contract.
Which in the NBA, an expiring contract is more valuable than a player.
That's insane.
An expiring contract is more valuable than a player, especially one that's overpaid like Carlos Boozer. That's a lot of money coming off of your books next year.
Yep. I agree.
Chicago might have the best combination of assets to give Minnesota what they would be looking for and get Kevin Love to re-sign with them.
Do you have to bring in a third team?
They don't have to, but they could.
Chicago's.
Chris? Folks, I apologize. Go ahead, David. Look, Chris.
I don't know where I was at when it cut off, but
we're talking that Chicago is probably the one team that has the assets to bring him in without needing a third team.
Yes. You could bring in a third team if you wanted to, but you don't necessarily have to.
Now, David, if they do that, that puts them in a good spot, Chicago.
And well, isn't it what they have to give up?
It depends on what they have to give up. If they can make the deal with just the draft picks and Mirotic and either Butler, Gibson, or Boozer, it's not that bad a deal for Chicago. But I don't know.
Kevin Love with Joakim Noah is not going to be a rebound to be had.
There's not. And Derrick Rose coming back.
Yeah.
They would be a contender in the East all of a sudden if
now was, what that comes. Mirotic play and what type of player is
he? He's a stretch four.
Stretch four, which is valuable in the NBA these days.
Yes. But I don't know. The thing that Chicago is trying to figure out is it better to sign Carmelo Anthony or is it better to trade for Kevin Love?
See, to me, I don't think Carmelo fits.
That's a no-brainer to me. Kevin Love.
Kevin Love.
Kevin Love's a team player. He fits into that team concept that's in Chicago.
He'll play defense and rebound.
Yes.
But he's not good at defense. He's a good rebounder. He's not a great defender.
But Joakim Noah is going to make him a better defender. Simply by his presence.
This is my question to you about Kevin Love. You ready?
Okay.
What about the Takeo Spikes factor?
What do you mean?
Okay. A long time ago, when I was explaining to you how fantasy football worked.
Yes.
I said it's
a lot of tackles, but doesn't. Okay.
You got to think about the Takeo Spikes factor. Takeo Spikes was a linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals who were terrible. So he got all of their tackles, ranked up all of their fantasy football points. This is my question about Kevin Love. Is it the Takeo Spikes factor? Are his numbers inflated because he's in Minnesota playing by himself?
But, I mean, to go a little technical for our listeners out there, and NBA goes all plus minuses and advanced matrix and all that. His advanced matrix are off the chart. His plus minus is off the chart. I don't know.
And nobody does, and I don't either, and that's the problem. And that's when I think, okay, maybe Carmelo is a better fit. If Derrick Rose gets hurt again.
Carmelo's definitely a better fit.
Yeah. Who's more likely to carry the team to the playoffs?
Carmelo.
Carmelo and Noah or Love and Noah?
Carmelo and Noah.
Carmelo and Noah.
Giants?
I don't know.
I'm a big fan of Dan Levitard's show with his father and Bomani Jones. They talked about Kevin Love a lot. I'm going to give Levitard credit for this. And it kind of plays into David's Takeo Spikes factor. If he was that good, they would at least be a low-level playoff team. That's the only that might be the answer you're looking for.
How is Carmelo any better?
What now?
If that's the case, how is Carmelo any better?
Well, Carmelo's got J.R. Smith to deal with. Which is a whole different kind of crazy.
Yeah, but Carmelo is a ball hog.
Is J.R. Smith.
Well, what I'm saying is, in that offense in Chicago, I do believe it is Rose, that's the guard, right, David?
Derrick Rose,
yes. Derrick Rose first, everybody else second.
Here's the difference about Carmelo. And this may be where David is trying to go with this, Dave, on Carmelo. Okay. Think about not New York Nick Carmelo, who hasn't met a shot he doesn't like, just like his teammate J.R. Smith. Think about U.S. Olympic team Carmelo, who said, this team needs a defensive rebounder. They don't need another scorer right now. I'll go play defense and rebound for you in the Olympics.
But do you think he's going to set back to Derek versus setting back to Wade, LeBron, and all that bunch?
If he wants a ring, he might.
And that's the million-dollar question, because at this point in his career, what's important to Carmelo Anthony?
All I know is, at least with Carmelo, I can say there is tangible proof that he says, you need a defender, you need a rebounder, I'm going to go out and be your defender and rebounder so we can beat Argentina.
Well, but with Love, every night he's going out doing everything he can to win whatever's necessary to win the game. No, he doesn't have the physical ability to play defense, but like you said, his numbers are off the charts.
Okay, bottom line, who helps you more against Miami?
Love.
Carmelo.
Gentlemen, argue your sides.
I don't like Carmelo. I don't trust Carmelo.
You're a terrible arguer.
I don't trust Carmelo.
Why?
From what I've watched of his NBA career, it is about Melo. And Love at least will, I feel, do what's best for the team. And now I agree with Chris. In the Olympics, he did step back. But that's megastars.
Carmelo against the Heat can guard LeBron. You've already got somebody to guard Chris Bosh.
You've got that right, though. You're right there, Chris. I'll have to give you that.
And that's the thing with me, too. What Miami does to Chicago is they put LeBron on Derrick Rose. And LeBron is so much bigger than Derrick Rose that Rose can't do what he does. If you have Carmelo on that team, then LeBron no longer can guard Derrick Rose.
Now you got broke down to Wayne Wade trying to guard Derrick Rose.
Exactly.
Because you're definitely not going to let Ray Allen or Mario Chalmers guard him when they're in the game.
Exactly.
Although I guess with their current setup, David, you could still try to have Battier on Carmelo.
You could. And the argument the other way is, if you've got Love and Noah, Miami likes to go small. Miami would never get a rebound that whole series.
Nope.
Nah.
Maybe one and done.
Because now you've got Battier or LeBron trying to guard Kevin Love.
So this is what Chicago's been trying to figure out all week.
I mean, to me, they're better with Carmelo.
And I don't know. And then you had Sam Smith. You've got to love Sam Smith because he's just crazy. Sam Smith wrote an article that the Bulls should gut the rest of the team and get both of them. So you have Rose, Carmelo, Love, Noah, and the rest of the team just be minimum level players.
That's what the Heat did.
What the Heat did.
Kind of worked.
Only problem with doing that is you are now banking a whole lot on Derrick Rose to remain healthy after almost two years in a row with leg injuries. When's he going to turn into Dwayne Wade and his leg just can't go anymore?
I was about to say.
To me, I think you're banking less on Derrick because if he goes down, you've still got three all-stars on your team.
Yeah, but then you look at – you don't have any – none of them are LeBron and they can help you handle the basketball. And you look at probably what Miami's biggest problem is. They're stuck with
– We're back. Go ahead, Chris.
I said they're stuck with Mario Chalmers as their point guard, no matter how hard they tried to attract another lead guard. And that's why I say you're banking a whole lot on Derrick Rose. Because, once again, who's going to get the ball into the front court if you backloaded with Noah, Carmelo, and Kevin Love? They're still going to require somebody to get the ball up the court.
Yeah, but does it matter? I mean, anybody could bring the ball up the court. I don't – to me, the argument is still you would have three all-stars on your team with different areas of expertise, scoring, defense.
I think
Sam Smith's definitely a dreamer. He's dreaming in this scenario. But I think the four of them together would be pretty scary.
Oh, that defensive backcourt would be – oh, my God. That defense – the front – just the backcourt. I mean, their defensive front court with Carmelo, Love, and Noah.
Yeah, to me that would be that is the only to me that's the best chance of knocking off Miami. But again, whether they've got the guns and the cojones to pull it off, I have no idea.
I don't know. We shall see. It should be this whole draft. Leading up, players moving up, moving down, trades, max players, who's early termination options. It should lead for an eventful offseason for basketball leading up to the draft. So I think a lot of interesting things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Give us a lot to talk about in upcoming weeks.
Absolutely, because the whole entire Big Three can opt out.
Yeah.
In Miami.
And I hope all three of them do opt out.
Right. You got Kevin Love. The Kevin Love situation. You've got Carmelo's a free agent.
Cleveland's got to make a decision long term about Kyrie.
Yeah. That's the one draft pick that they've gotten right in the last, since LeBron. So that to me, they've got to re-sign Kyrie.
I don't know. Should be interesting.
David, Chris, you too. Think all three of the Big Three come back to Miami?
I don't think Bosch is.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
And I'm not sure Miami wouldn't be all right with that.
What'd you say? D-Wade?
I said I'm not sure that Miami wouldn't be all right with Bosch leaving.
Oh, well, Bosch, yeah.
Because they could really use that cap space.
They can use it.
All right, gentlemen. Anything else? All right, folks. Well, we had our 10th technical difficulty there at the end. I've lost both of them. We're going to call it for a night and bang it out. I want to thank you for joining us. Once again, this has been Dave's Living Room. Follow us on Twitter, #DLR. And thanks for being with us as always. Thank you all. Have a good night.